In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The Gospel of Luke gives us two parables this morning, each of which begins with a rhetorical question. They follow this basic pattern. In this circumstance, who wouldn't do the following? Jesus seems to assume that the answer is, in such a case, anyone would take that course of action. The problem is, and don't tell anyone this, I'm not sure I would. In our first parable, the one about the lost sheep, once again we run into the challenge of not knowing how a shepherd would behave in such an instance, because none of us is a shepherd, and most of us have never even met a shepherd. We probably haven't even seen that many sheep. But if I put myself in the shepherd's position, am I going to leave my 99 sheep to go after one? Is that really the wisest course of action? What if one of the others were to wander off while I was away, or get snatched up by a wolf? And then there's the fact of how this shepherd and the woman who finds the lost coin, which was likely about a day's wages, call on their friends to rejoice with them once they've found what they'd lost. Now, I don't know about you, but when I think of something that I own that I'd rather not lose, I think of that great appendage of the 21st century, my cell phone. Over the years, I've misplaced my phone from time to time, getting a little panicky when I can't immediately locate it. When I do find it, I do a little jig inside, a little dance that mingles joy and relief. But I've never, even for a moment, thought of calling up my friends and saying, "I found my phone, come over and help me celebrate. I got Prosecco." I think Jesus knows that. And I think he's using these parables to make two points. The first is that you might not throw a party to celebrate the return of what or who was lost, but God does. Jesus says in verse 10 of today's reading, "There is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." We may not think that the salvation of a single soul out of the billions on earth is cause for celebration, but God does. And if God does, perhaps we ought to as well. And the second point that Jesus seems to be making is about repentance. Now, what does repentance look like in today's reading from Luke? Does Jesus talk here about repentant sinners doing penance, acts of contrition for their sins? No. Does he talk about the sinner offering ritual sacrifice in the temple to absolve them of their sins? Not that either. In fact, in this reading at least, there's nothing about penance or sacrifice. Instead, repentance is marked by a return to community. And not a grudging return to community, but a celebration. The sheep is back, the coin is back, now let's have a party. But chapter 15 of Luke's Gospel actually has three, not two, what we might call lost then found parables. Extra credit for anyone knows who that third parable is. Anyone know? I give it to the choir. Maybe because they're closer and I heard them. Yes, that third parable is the parable of the prodigal son, which we heard not today but back in Lent. The single greatest lost and found parable in the entire Bible. And it's the most profound lost then found parable for two reasons. One, it deals not with lost money or property, but with a lost person. Now, we really can sympathize. Some of us all too much. Even if life has thus far spared you from much loss of loved ones, any parent knows the feeling of losing a child in the crowd, if only for a few seconds. And all of us have been children. And if we can remember that far back, the feeling of losing a parent in a crowd for a few seconds is likely much the same. And sometimes, when someone comes back to you, you really do feel like celebrating with a great big party, and you might even do it. The second thing we learn about repentance from this third lost then found parable is that in addition to welcoming the lost one back into the community, and that being the hallmark of repentance, in the parable of the prodigal son, repentance is tied up with forgiveness, both requesting it and granting it. Coins don't ask for forgiveness, and neither do sheep. Then again, I don't know. I've never been a shepherd. But people do ask for and offer forgiveness. And this is how the prodigal son asks his father for forgiveness. He says, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you." In other words, "I've gone against God's wishes and I have harmed you. Forgive me." Repentance and forgiveness, according to Jesus, are both vertical between you and God and horizontal between you and the person you've harmed. And forgiveness is both important and hard. Maybe if it weren't so hard, we'd see more of it. But it's the linchpin of repentance, which has as its goal the restoration of relationship and community. That's always where Jesus is headed, towards restored relationship. And it's why he sounds like a broken record on forgiveness. Repentance is but a step. And forgiveness is but a step, and the true destination, the final port of call, is restoration of relationship between a woman and her coin, between a shepherd and his sheep, between a father and his son, between all of us and the God who created us and loves us and wants to welcome us home. And that's well worth a party. Amen.